What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm here with my good friend, Daryl Glover, and we are joined by, can I just go ahead and say, like, our favorite podcast guests? We love all of our guests, and we're so happy to have you on. But Jackie Garlitch, this is her second time around on the show. And so welcome to the show again, Dr. Jackie Garlitch, creator of 2020 Glam.
Thank you. Wow, that's like such an intro. Everyone's going to want to listen to this podcast with that kind of intro. It's amazing.
Well, I'm sure they're all big fans of yours already because I want to give you a shout out. You've been hitting a lot of milestones this year. Tell us about 2020 Glance. Just give us a little bit of an update on what's going on with your platform.
Okay, so 2020 Glance is, if you don't know, this is an email kind of newsletter that I started a year and a half ago. And this kind of gives a rundown on the clinically relevant optometry news for the past week. So I personally found that I was doing a really, you know, crappy job keeping up with like optometry news. And I was kind of asking friends like how they do that. Most people were saying like, oh, we don't keep up. We just use CE, which is great. I kind of came, there's a lot of stuff that like happens day to day in optometry and like new studies, new FDA approvals. So I kind of started it for this and it's been great. It's really growing. I started it, you know, just kind of like one day I thought this would be a good idea. Let's just like test this out. And it's been growing a lot now. Like and it's just kind of nice to have like people give shout outs or word of mouth referrals to 2020 Glance. So it's been doing well. Like I have about 2,500 or so subscribers to the email, which is, you know, certainly growing. So it's good. It's fun to write. I like it. I like that people like to read it. So,
and let's talk a little bit more about your writing style because you convey the information tremendously better than anyone else that I know. So just talk about like your mindset in regards to how you present the information as well.
So I feel like, I mean, I don't think I'm that different in anyone that I really appreciate efficiency. And it really drives me crazy when I think things could be done better. So, and I'm a very sarcastic person by nature. So I kind of write everything,
which I love, by the way.
So I just kind of write everything in my voice, like, you know, tell me what I need to know. Okay, there's this new medication. All right, what does it do? Why is this better than other ones? How do I prescribe it? What are the side effects? And how much is it? Like, just tell me these basic things. Like, I don't really need to know. I mean, it's nice to know like very detailed information about the research, which I think is valuable. But, you know, like you've only got so much time. Okay, and like, I just want to know, tell me what I need to know to like educate a patient in the exam chair. So that's kind of like how I focus everything. I was like, what does a patient need to know, or what might a patient ask me? What do I know to treat this patient better, kind of a thing. So yeah, I try to just write it with some humor so it's not, you know, super lame to read and but very informative, you know. Try to do both of this.
I think you single-handedly made optometry cool again, so I greatly appreciate you for doing that.
Well, we're going to actually be finding out who among us have been keeping up to date with the 2020 email.
Yes.
Because, you know, yes, I have a feeling if you're reading this every week, you'll be pretty well informed about what's going on in eye care. And so when we were talking about, well, like, let's do a wrap up of what were the big topics of 2017. And obviously, Dr. Garlitch first came to mind because she's talking about what's going on every single week in the 2020 Glance emails that she sends out. And we're doing things a little bit different this time so that you guys, our podcast listeners, can play along at home and test your own knowledge. So we're going to do this like quiz show style. Test yourself. We want to hopefully get you answering in before even Daryl and I, and you can laugh about us later.
Can I just keep score? Do I have to actually participate?
Daryl, I have to compete against somebody. So you're in this.
Oh my gosh.
You're definitely participating. For sure. I'm going to give you the hardest one.
Oh my. Well, let's do it.
Okay. All right. I was sort of like, yeah, let's make this like a quiz. I'm like, who doesn't love like a pop quiz? And then I'm like, all right, nobody loves a pop quiz. We're going to do it anyway, except maybe the person giving the quiz. But here we go. All right. Who wants to take the first question? Like, who wants to be brave?
Well, I say just shoot them out and then we'll both just answer. The first one to say what? Ding, ding, ding gets to answer the question and gets a point or something.
Oh, man. You know what you should do, Daryl? Is you should put one of these like really great sound effects, like do, 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 or something for this.
I could do that.
All right, okay, here we go. All right, number one. This is kind of a gimme. So, oh, you know what? I shouldn't say that because if you guys don't know it, you're going to feel dumb. Okay, well, anyway, it's already out there. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. You can edit that out of the podcast if you guys both know now. Okay. All right. Question number one. What is the name of the newly approved glaucoma medication that is a nitric oxide donating prostaglandin analog?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ooh, ding, 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 ding.
All right. You know, either.
Ladies
no,
first.
That's okay. Actually, I'm not so sure, Daryl, that you're going to know a lot of these. So let me let you go first.
You know what? It's funny. I do actually remember reading this in your email, but I don't know if I'm going to pronounce the name correct. But I think it was something like Voltaren or something.
Oh,
like
man.
That.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it.
Okay, Jen, you got
the
it.
Zolta.
Yes. And
Zolta,
you know,
that's what it was.
So you know what? I'm saying this. I don't actually know how you say it. I've been saying it Vizulta. I don't really know.
Ah, you see?
But, it's definitely not Voltaren, Daryl. So you're left out already.
I knew it was something like that. It's just a weird thing.
Though.
Yeah, that's an NSAID.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But I knew it was some weird name like that because you just released that one. If it wasn't this past week, it was the week before, right?
This like just happened. And I'm going to give you like a little insider tip on this in case you haven't been reading this all the time like I do. But this medication was actually called Vesneo, which was... And then it was rebranded in earlier this year to change it to Vizulta or however we're going to say this name. And I think my theory on why this was rebranded is because they submitted that medication to the FDA and then it was rejected by the FDA, not because of concerns with the medication, but actually concerns with the facility where the drug was made in Florida. So my theory is they rebranded it so that people wouldn't associate Vesneo with some FDA rejection. So then they call it Vizulta or whatever. Whatever. It's a great name, I guess.
Excellent. All right, so I know we can't prescribe it yet. It's not yet available. But do you know any updates about like when we might be able to write a prescription?
Well, so I called my pharmacy across the hall from our office and they actually have it in their system. Oh. And then, okay, here's enough. This actually wasn't even a question. Who wants to guess how much the cash pay cost of this 5 mL bottle is?
$1,000.
Okay, now that's ridiculous.
I'm gonna say
it's obviously not gonna be $1,000.
Daryl. I'm gonna come in at $321.
Oh my gosh, Jen, you need to go buy a lottery ticket. It's $344.
Oh well. I mean, I wouldn't have won the lottery though, but like I was off my
yeah.
Well, you need to go hang out in Vegas or Atlantic City, one of the two, because it sounds like you have
some. You know
why
I guess
there.
That's about how much Avenova costs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. Gosh. Okay. So, but there is a card, actually, like a rebate card or a copay card. So I don't have any of the details. Actually, our B&L rep is going to be bringing by samples next week. So I don't really actually know anything new other than what I just called the pharmacy for to see if it's like in their system. But yeah, this is like kind of a new, I mean, this is, I think, exciting. I mean, I love like new innovation and new medications coming out. This one is unique because, you know, it has two mechanisms of action. So it's the prostaglandin analog, which we all know, and that kind of works on the uveoscleral pathway. Like that's similar to like a Lumigan or a Travitan or whatever prostaglandin. And then it also has this nitric oxide donor, which is like in 2020 glance speak, it just gives it an extra decrease in IOP. So it increases outflow through the trabecular meshwork and Schlemm's canal. So it's like two mechanisms, which is like the big thing. And like some of these studies, they did a ton of studies. Jen, you actually covered this on your blog. You wrote about Vizulta.
I did. And I actually was mentioning it to another doc the other day, like, oh, when is this going to come out? And they were like, it's hardly any more effective than just regular latanoprost. Like, I'm not going to change my prescription. And I'm like, but in glaucoma, if I can lower the IOP down by, you know, 2 to 3 points, to me, that's a big deal. Like, that's the difference between a 17 and a 14. And if we're all trying to get to 14 and we have some people in the high teens, like, let's get 2 or 3 points with just one medication, one drop a day. So I'm planning on writing prescriptions for this medication as long as that coupon card is legit.
Okay, you guys ready for number two? Number two.
Let's do it.
All right. Daryl, I hope you do better on this one. Here we go.
Me too.
Okay, number two.
Ding, 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 ding. I know the answer.
Okay.
I'll just play it.
Here we go. The number 30. Does this represent... A, the percentage of retinopathy telemedicine catches. B, the number of contacts found in one woman's eye. C, the potential number of optometry schools in the U.S. if North Carolina gets one, or D, where optometry ranks on the list of low stress jobs that pay well. Okay, so I'm going to reread it because it's a lot. Number 30, does this represent the percentage of retinopathy telemedicine catches? B, the number of contacts found in one woman's eye? C, the potential number of optometry schools in the U.S. if North Carolina gets one? And D, where optometry ranks on the list of low-stress jobs? This one's kind of tough. Who wants to chime in?
I want to say the contacts in the eye.
Okay, Jen, do you want to have a guess on this?
I'm torn between the last two. I'm going to go with the low-stress job.
Oh my gosh, you guys. It's A, the percentage of retinopathy telemedicine catches.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was so much higher for some reason.
I know. So, okay, there was this study that was done in July, actually, and it was published in ARVO. So they did this like telemedicine screening program with the Aptos. And then they found that 30 of these like 5,000 patients that they screened, the study found that 30% of them had diabetic retinopathy. So it's like, you know, that's where the number came from. But the contacts in the eye was 27.
Yeah, I actually knew that. I was like, no, that's 27.
Because like everybody asked you about that week that story came out. It was insane. This like poor woman with like deep set eyes ended up having this mass ball of contacts in her eyes. Do you guys know about this optometry school thing in North Carolina? Are you guys
in North Carolina? Yeah, I've heard about it. I hope it doesn't happen. I think we have enough optometry schools, and I like the way the profession is in North Carolina. I'm against it. I'll say it out loud. I hope everyone hears me as well. I mean, Jen, what are your thoughts?
Yes, and obviously this might not be a political answer that anyone wants to hear from me, but I'm strongly opposed to another school in North Carolina. One, I think if we do have another school, it needs to be very closely associated with an esteemed medical school if we want to try to work better in North Carolina to get expanded scope of practice. And that's not what's being proposed. So it's just going to give more fuel for the ophthalmologists in our community to look down upon us. And I may reconsider if it was tied to a program where we got to train side by side with ophthalmology for the reason of scope expansion. But we do not seem to be extremely underserved. We do have underserved areas of optometry in North Carolina. I'm not going to deny that fact, but it's because just like every place in the United States, when new grads are coming to a place, they keep going to the city centers where their spouses would have jobs, where they'd want to live. And it's these rural communities that don't have a lot of jobs that people aren't going to. So that's an issue that's not going to be solved by having another school there. I can guarantee you, if we have students pumping in North Carolina, they'll still go to the major city centers to work. So I just don't think it's the right solution to the problem.
Yeah. Well, good answer. It's like I prepped you with that question. That was like very
It's a very good choice answer there.
Okay, so that one wasn't that great of a question. All right, let's move on. Okay,
Before we move on, what are your thoughts of an additional school? Like, what are your thoughts with all these schools that are popping out throughout the United States, Jackie?
I mean, I guess I don't really have all the numbers to see the oversight. Like, yes, okay, like I look at Chicago because I'm kind of close to Chicago, and I know that, you know, that's like very saturated in the same way you're saying, like the city centers are saturated. There's a lot of, you know, optometrists available there. I guess I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine how it is. I agree with you. I don't know that I necessarily need, and I don't really know how it isn't practicing in North Carolina. So you guys are certainly more knowledgeable about that. But I kind of agree with you. I feel like we have 23, I believe, right now. So that seems like enough. I mean, there's always a concern. I feel like that we're just producing too many optometrists and there's not enough jobs. And yeah, I'm on your side. I just like don't like feel as strongly about it. I feel like I'm a little more like, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good thing. Yeah, I think I would agree. So that's like my very lame answer.
Also, let's think for a second. I mean, I know these studies come out that always mention optometry is like this excellent career, and I love it. Let's get that thing straight. I think all of us here are really in love with our profession choice. But is it low stress? Like, or is it, am I just high stress? I don't know.
You know what? This was like a random survey on a random kind of website, but it was 10. That's where optometry ranked. It was number 10 on the list of low stress jobs that pay well. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it's that stressful. I'm trying to think about, like, I had actually saw patients this morning and I didn't feel that stressed out. I don't know. What are you stressed out about?
I don't
Jen?
Know. I guess it's a me problem. I see like 23 people a day and usually one specialty fit at least a day on there. And it's just like at the end of the day, my mind is completely burnt out. Like I can barely form sentences talking to my husband at home. So maybe it's just a me problem.
No, I mean, I do, like, my schedule, I don't know, is very busy. Like, actually, yesterday was insane. And I said to my husband when I got home, I go, I didn't drink any water today. Like, that's a real problem.
Extremely dehydrated.
No, but that's like, I know, you know, so like, that's kind of a press. So yeah, I guess sometimes it's just like hectic and that can be kind of stressful. The reason I get stressed out is like, if patients are waiting, oh my gosh, that like winds me up so much. Like, I'm just like, I'm so sorry you're waiting. I like feel so like, I'm so apologetic when that happens. So that's what stresses me out. It's not really complicated cases. I don't get stressed out about that. It's like, if a patient has to wait, I feel like they're going to stand there with a pitchfork, you know,
we're
like
too empathetic. That's what's wrong with optometrists, I think, because that's the same thing. If I come out and I see there's like several, if every chair in my waiting room is full, I think like I'm about to sweat through my white coat. Like,
you see, I'm the complete opposite. For me, going to work is a stress reliever. I love patient care. I don't care if people are waiting for me or what. I'm like, there's so many more people that I can actually talk to and help. So I love it. Bring it on. Give me a million patients a day and I'll be able to take care of them. That's my type of world.
Oh my God. Just hang up, Daryl. You never let Jen and I complain.
I mean, you put me in a room and I could talk to someone all day and then also help them and talk to them about eyewear and their vision. I mean, to me, that's just, that's life. You know, I love it. Like, it's just an amazing, amazing
thing. As stressful
thing.
As I make it, like, it is fun. Like, fun to help people and I help them pick out their glasses. And, like, I have a ball doing it.
Okay. All right. So are we good with this? Should we move on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Question number three. In the past year, Johnson & Johnson has purchased A, Sightbox, B, Tear Science, C, AMO, D, all the above.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. I'm going to let Daryl go because he's not doing
all the above. All the above. I know I got that right.
We're on top of this one. Like, as soon as JJ, I was like, oh, yeah, this is.
That is correct, Daryl. You got one. Way to go.
Hallelujah. I was getting worried about myself there.
So this is sort of a big purchase. Like, I mean, Jen, I know you talked with, who was that actually?
Yeah, someone the important. President of Johnson & Johnson Vision America, Mr. Peter Meninzuzo.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast on that. I was like, really good. Just to like see where, what, why did they buy Sightbox exactly? Like, what's their vision with that sort of thing?
No, I mean, like, their vision's controversial on it, but I can see what they're thinking, because it's hard for us as optometrists to picture like contact lenses are a commodity and we're not going to be able to sell them. But they're thinking like 5 years out, maybe that's being generous, maybe like several years out, where it's like, nah, people are going to just be buying that stuff online. But like, are they going to come in for an eye exam? Because if they don't, guess what they don't prescribe? Johnson & Johnson's Acuvue Oasys one day contact lens. So it's a smart move by JJV. I really truly believe they're thinking of their best interests at heart.
Yeah, I feel like they're just trying to take those folks who normally don't get the exam and just keep renewing the contact lens prescriptions. They're trying to take those patients and put them in our chairs so we can make that money off those contact lens evaluations as well.
So like, in case you're like, your listeners don't know what Sightbox is, what they probably do because they listen to your podcast, but the Sightbox is like an online service that sets up the eye exam appointment at an OD office. Either the patient can choose, or the, you know, Sightbox will choose if they don't have a preferred optometrist. And then Sightbox will pay your full exam fee. So like, whatever you charge for your exam and contact lens fee, they pay that in full the same day. And then the patient then uses the contact lens prescription that you prescribe to get their contacts through Sightbox. So it's like, the bonus is like, you get your full exam fees the same day. You don't have to submit to your insurance. It's like, you don't have to take these like, you know, reduced amounts or whatever with the insurance plans. But the con is that then you don't get the contact lens sale. So that's how
I'm going to put
works.
One other thing out there that I think could be really major for what Sightbox could do for our profession. Okay, right now we have no marketing message that directly attacks what something like Optternative is doing, something like Hubble is doing. Talking to patients about buyer services here, the eye exam's inconvenient. You don't want to go see your doctor. You just renew through us. Like, no one's actively competing against that message on Instagram, on Facebook, where it's getting seen by millennial demographic. And Sightbox is the direct competitor to those places. And I think they are going to come after them really hard, talking about the importance of an eye exam and an in-office doctor relationship. So if they put their focus on that marketing strategy, they're going to be our best friend.
Yeah.
And they have to, because when you sit down to think about the entire situation, if we're not seeing these patients, these folks are going to wear the same pair of contact lenses for who knows how long, which means it's going to be less profit for them at the end of the day. So it behooves them to actually do exactly what you just stated, Jen.
And then they also, I mean, J&J kind of went on like a shopping spree, really. Like they bought that, then they bought Tear Science, which is maker of, you know, LipaView, LipaFlow, and they bought AMO. And like, I don't know if this is coincidental or not, but AMO is, you know, they have IOLs and like LASIK and cataract, you know, surgical systems and, you know, artificial tears. They have Blink. And never have I ever gotten a coupon for Blink contacts until after this acquisition. I don't know if that's coincidental or not, but I now have coupons for Blink.
The universe answered our prayers. We got coupons for Blink.
I was like, oh, I have this enormous prescription pad or coupon like pad of like Blink contact or Blink tears. I've never had that before. So anyway,
I'm waiting for them.
Yeah. We got them all the time at iCare Associates.
Oh
the,
my God.
The rep always came in. Like I had a drawer full of them because I used that product quite a bit, but you know, I guess we were special. I'm not saying you're not special, but you know, hey, they showed us a little more love there.
All right, well now I'm really pissed and I'm not gonna actually use it. So forget it. I'm gonna throw all those coupons away.
I've been kind of thinking they may rebrand. I mean, Blink I think has a pretty good awareness within the community already, but like, could you see like Blink Accu, like some sort of like AccuView branding on the solution and the rewetting drops and stuff, because that AccuView word is such a strong brand name within it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. These guys know what they're doing. I mean, they don't make the big money for no reason. I mean, we know this is all coming. I just want to see what they're going to acquire next.
Question four.
Let's have it.
Okay. The name of the new intranasal device to treat dry eye is?
TruTear. All right. I didn't ding. Sorry.
All right, doesn't
I was count. Waiting. Okay, that was an easy one.
Doesn't count.
I think you disqualified.
No, I'm just kidding. It's TruTear. Have you guys used this or seen this? I have not.
I have not. I have not used it yet, but I know they have access to it at Duke.
Well,
Gym.
So I went to a lecture a couple of, like last week. I can't remember. It's been a blur. You know, it's December and optometry. So, but Dr. Laura Perriman was there, who's an ophthalmologist in the Seattle area. And she's one of the test sites for the TruTear device. And she had brought hers with us to kind of show it. I mean, it's very sleek looking. It's very like iPhone-esque. It's got this sleek little case. And then when I describe, because I will actively refer my patients that I'm kind of at my wit's end on treating their dry eye. They're on Restasis. They've had LipaFlow. Like they're still symptomatic and they're using Retain MGD 5 times a day despite all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, we got to do something else, I guess, because you're still complaining to me every 3 weeks. 3 months. So I've been referring them over for TruTear. But when I've been describing it to them, I was like, it's this little device you put up your nose and then it sends an electrical current. And my patients, like their eyes look like they're going to pop out of their head. So I think there is like an explanation problem that we'll have to deal with when we are able to prescribe these. Not to mention the fact that like the price situation, I think is going to be like anything, kind of a difficult situation to overcome. I'm thinking they're retailing around $500, but then you have to buy the replacement tips and stuff on a regular basis. So
yeah,
Jen, you made it sound like an electric chair. So yeah, I'd be scared as hell too if you told me something like that as well.
How would you explain it to your patient that does not involve electric?
I would just say, hey, there's some great technology. I'm gonna refer you over to the specialist, and you guys can go.
Maybe say you should maybe use the term neuro like
stimulation or something.
Like, you know, electric zapping to your nostril sounds like far more. That's how I feel like I do. I'm not really, that's how I feel like patients always, I always freak patients out when I'm talking about myopia control with like a parent. I'm definitely not doing that right. I need to get that better because I talked to you about this. Like I was like, I'm like freaking out these parents. Like I need a better way to describe, like say all this. So I'm going to go with neurostimulation.
Okay, I'm going to avoid the word electric current now, but I will not, it looks weird. Okay. Like can you picture you're on a crowded subway or like the any of us do that, just in case we do. We're doing public transportation in this pretend situation. And someone beside you is like rubbing their eyes and their eyes are so red and they pull this thing out of their purse and shove it up their nose and then they go like and like have to blow their nose afterwards. It's going to be a peculiar world that we're living in soon, I think.
You're so right. It's...
But if it solves the problem, it solves the problem, right?
It's very promising technology. It sounds like it really, really works. So as soon as I can get it, I'm going to be prescribing them, you know, that's my plan at least. I've been wanting to have it since like March when it came out. And every time my Allergan rep comes, they're like, you're not prescribing Restasis. And I'm like, yeah, but where's my True Tear?
I definitely haven't seen it. But as you, we now know, I'm not special. So like, I just barely got Blink coupons. So I'm definitely not going to be getting anytime soon. So it's fine. Okay, I've got one more question. Okay, so number 5. Which of the following stores now have opticals? A, CVS. B, Walgreens. C, Saks Fifth Avenue. D, all the above.
Oh my gosh, this is tricky. Daryl, do you want to tag team on this one? Let's think it out.
Well, okay, let's work together. Saks Fifth Ave, I've never heard of them having opticals, but I know Macy's did at some point in time. So having a retail aspect like that, maybe there's something that I miss. But I know my wife likes to shop at Saks, and I never heard of anything of her telling me there was an optical shop there. CVS and Walgreens, I know one of those two actually have an optical unit there. Was it CVS, Jen?
I'm leaning towards CVS because they're also looking at doing like a kiosk refraction. So
yeah. So I would say CVS.
Final answer. Like,
it is D, all of the above.
What?
Okay, let me.
Saks Fifth is going to have an optical outlet, like where you could do refractions or something?
They already have one. They got it in September. Okay, so they have two stores that have opticals. They're like these boutique opticals, obviously. One of them even has an OD that's like there doing exams. But when this OD isn't there, the like vice president of Saks says that like a tech is going to do the exam and send the results to the doctor remotely. They're like pretty set up. They did, there was like this video, they did this like news thing on this like launch, I guess, in September. And they've got like a ton of machines in there, like a ton of technology in there. So I don't know how the remote thing works, but that just happened in September. And there's only two Saks that have those opticals.
Which locations do you know?
You know what? I don't remember.
Probably somewhere in New York because Their telemedicine laws have been pretty friendly to disruptors.
Yeah, where was this? I can find out.
It's all good.
Walgreens, they started performing eye exams in Chicago. And that was like in January. So I'm going to say that it's okay that you can't remember that because that happened all the way. This was like right at the beginning
of the
year.
It's okay. You can be very judgy of us right now.
Doing it. And then CVS, they opened 5 opticals. This is in like the Baltimore, D.C. area. And they did that like happened like in April. So yeah, all these places, opticals, and they're all staffed with ODs. I mean, like it's not just glasses selling. It's like optometrists are there.
Okay, so you really had me interested in about this Saks Fifth. So I see one location's in Florida.
Oh, okay. You're already on it. I have the link right here. But yeah, I don't recall. I don't remember exactly. That sounds terrible. But yeah,
it's crazy. Everyone's trying to get into the optical game. Jeez.
Well, that's what all this private equity, you know, that's kind of honestly one of the biggest stories of the year is how prevalent private equity in eye care has been. And I guess just looking at the margins on what we do, it's kind of a buzzy thing for people that want to invest money to get into. But I've been kind of in looking at this. Maybe like 5-10 years ago, the same thing kind of happened in ophthalmology, where a lot of private equity invested into laser centers. Okay. And because like LASIK was going to be the thing, they were going to turn over and make a ton of money. And then, you know, with the economy the way it is, it just didn't quite pan out. So private equity kind of really left that sector. And it's just wonder now, like, how much, okay, in your personal opinion, is there really a lot of fast money in optometry, really, when you look at the long term of it? I'm not so sure that there is. So what happens when all of these people get out to our profession?
Yeah, it's a good question. I cannot have the answer for that.
Question for our future generations to think about.
Well, the CVS and Walgreens, I mean, that scares me a little bit. But having an optical shop in Saks really doesn't scare me because that place is expensive, you know, and if I lose, you know, a small percentage of patients to that, that's not going to be the end of the world simply because like that, like I said, that place is very expensive. So most of my patients, I don't feel shop at Saks. So I think it's going to impact my practice as much or whenever I am practicing.
What I'm more concerned about is like individual, like, oh, my patient went to LensCrafters or something. Not necessarily that like personal effect on my personal practice, but like, what does it do to optometry as a profession? Like, are they providing good working environment for our colleagues that are coming out of school? Are they going to pay well? Are they going to have good work-life balance? Are they going to get fair contracts? Like, I want to see them taking care of optometry and keeping it that profession that we know and love. And so that's what I'm more concerned about as more people enter the game. Like, do they value and place the appropriate value on the eye care and the doctor who's doing it?
Well, when you have all these places opening up, I mean, you're talking about Saks, CVS, Walgreens. Before you know, it'll be Harris Teeter and Food Lion and Kroger's. And then you look at more schools opening. I mean, it's really watering down a profession when you really think about it.
Well, that's what our hope is not to be. Like, I don't want people coming out of school and going to a job that destroys their love of the profession because it's a bad job. Like, it's not doing good for patients and it's not doing good for them. So as long as they're good jobs, I can be open-minded about it. And hopefully, you know, important people that are doing good work for optometry are sitting on the chairs and panels at these places as they get opticals to make sure that it's a good experience for everyone involved.
I was just going to say that. I think there's a very big difference to having like a business person running this versus having input from an, you know, optometrist. That would be, I think that's great.
And on a little bit of a lighter note, like, though, I can't work in a place with fluorescent lighting. Like if I walk into a Walmart so and I'm like, how do they do it in here? Like, with this lighting, it's so harsh.
Oh my God. Okay, guys, you guys did like, you know, pretty good on the quiz. Those are my five questions for the quiz. But we can sort of talk about, I just want to like mention other stories that were somewhat big, like UPP, unilateral pricing policy, totally died.
Oh yeah, it went the way of the dinosaur. It was a meteoric rise and then a fall into oblivion.
It's dead in the water. So yeah, that will be the year that we will remember.
May UPP it rest in peace.
Has died. It's okay. The other thing that, Jen, I think you're going to love this number. There was like new research out that sort of updated how many people really have keratoconus. So like the previous, you know, numbers were like, oh, like 1 in 2,000 people have keratoconus. And that was sort of changed with some of the newer studies that have come out, or like just long-term studies that have published results. And that's like 1 in 375 people have keratoconus, which feels more right.
Oh, yeah.
Like sounds
feels
right.
Way more right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had an amazing podcast with Dr. Chang and he went into detail in regards to that. So if you haven't heard that podcast yet, listeners, please listen to it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And then we got new contacts, mostly for the toric people like myself who tend to always get the shaft on like new contact lenses, but they have Vita for astigmatism came out, which, by the way, do you guys say Vita or Vita?
I also say Vita.
I say Vita.
Okay, I think that's actually, I don't know if that's correct or not, but I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Well, you heard what I said with the first name that we were talking about, so don't follow after me. You'll be completely wrong.
And then the other is Oasis 1 day for astigmatism, Biotrue 1 day for astigmatism. Those are the
Ultra for astigmatism.
Ultra for astigmatism. Yes, you're right. I forgot about that one. Oh my God.
Yeah, I only remember that because I've been fitting that a lot. It's a good contact lens. I don't know if you've tried it.
That is, you know what? My BNL rep's going to be so mad if he listens to this. And then the other kind of like major thing was the Essilor-Luxottica merger. Oh boy. Oh, yeah.
It just got approved in Canada.
It did. Daryl, way to go. Oh. You are reading the news. Oh,
really? Hey, there's one thing I stay on top of. It's the Essilor-Luxottica merger. That's for sure.
You're really taking a turn in this podcast. You're doing a lot.
Oh, my. But what are your thoughts about this merger, Jackie?
I mean, this has not gotten, Luxottica in general has not gotten great press. I don't know what to think about it. I mean, like Essilor, you know, has, you know, Vision Source, which is supposed to be, you know, supporting the independent OD. But then there's Luxottica, which seems to like not support the independent OD. So then these two companies merge. And then like, which way will the scales tip? Or like, or is it, you know, I don't really know. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the problem, this is why it's so hard for optometry to understand what's going on with this. The entities already as themselves already made no sense. And now merging them, it's like, how do two things that make no sense make any sense together? Because should it, like, in, if we really think about it, should a company be allowed to own the frames, the insurance, and the place that they're prescribed and sold at? Does that make sense? But no, that's Luxottica. That was already legal. And then should a company like Essilor that makes lenses also should own companies were buying groups for independent ODs, both Vision Source and Perk, like two competing things that independent doctors could have joined, owned by the same thing. Does that make any sense? So, but, you know, trying to create like form logical opinions about it is really an impossible feat, I have a feeling. All I care about now is, will the right things happen as far as good for the profession, good for patients? If they can somehow turn this around into we're creating like faster products for you, and going to an independent doctor doesn't mean that it takes 2 weeks for your patients to get their glasses, then okay, great. So I just want to see results now to make an opinion.
Yeah, I think, Jen, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if they can really utilize both companies to get products quicker to our patients, figure out how to fuse disruptive technology into our practices and keep us as optometrists number one. And in hell, if Essilor can even teach Luxottica how to do better business, I think it may help. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying on the other end. I mean, like, it's like they have monopolies, right? How are they even able to form a business together? But in reality, we have to look at what's really happening. And I'm hopeful that, you know, something positive will take place from this merger.
Yeah, I think time will tell. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised it was approved, like in Canada, like that just happened. So yeah, I don't know. I agree. It's like, I have no opinion. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think.
Well, the one thing we can all do as optometrists, we have to speak up. You know, if we want something to take place, or we want to see the industry turn a certain way, I mean, we have to be aggressive as optometrists. I mean, this industry will not move without us. You know, we have to know that we do have a lot of power within our hands. We just have to speak up and use the voice that we have.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that was a big take home from 2017 too. I mean, well, all of you guys are, I know, are on social media pretty heavily, but don't you think in the past year that you've seen a much bigger movement on social media within optometry in general? Like, people are out there, they're present, they're communicating the value of what they're doing online. And it's not just us talking to optometrists and each other. We're actually like reaching more patients, I think, this year than ever before. It's been a good thing to see online. Well, I hope you guys feel very up to date. I know that I've learned that I need to go back and read a lot of articles for this year. My current event knowledge was low, but I was all on it if you were going to ask me about more study results. But so this is an exciting time to be alive. And if you want to stay up to date, I think you already know what you need to do to get that, because obviously the most up to date person on this podcast was Jackie. So just make sure you hop over to 2020glance.com to subscribe to her emails.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.